We're gonna be exposed as frauds.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take much to do that.
Please bless the refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. Today is a crossover episode. This week we were asked to take the reins of the This Week in Mormons episode, where we talked about what happened in the news regarding the church. You can check them out anywhere you listen to podcasts. In our episode, we chat about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake, how a poll indicates that people may have a less favorable view of the church, the Great Salt Lake, the Syria-Turkey earthquake, and the Super Bowl. Hope you enjoy. Okay, hello everyone. We're welcome to This Week in Mormons. Today is actually a joint production of This Week in Mormons and Bless the Refreshments. We are the co-producers and co-creators. What else do we call ourselves?
Awesome.
Awesomes of the Bless the Refreshments podcast. Kurt asked us to take the reins today, and we are very excited to be here. Just so you guys can get to know us a little bit, I think we should all kind of start off with some introductions of ourselves. Cool. So I'll go first because I feel like I've got the least exciting day job. My name is John Marucci. In my day job, I work in sales for a tech company. I live in Draper, Utah right now. I'd love to also recommend our favorite episodes here. Well, my favorite episode, we'll have Burgess and Tyson do that as well. And I would probably say, if you're going to take a listen to our most recent episode, which is episode 82. And we had licensed marriage and family therapist Bonnie Young on the show to talk about her new book, Sex Educated. So, yeah, check us out wherever you listen to podcasts after you listen to this one. Burgess, why don't you go next?
Sure. I am Burgess, as Johnny said. My day job is a freelance video editor. I enjoy chocolate and pizza.
At the same time? Yeah, chocolate pizza.
Yes.
Excellent.
I traditionally do the least amount of talking, and therefore, you shouldn't listen to any of our episodes. None of them are my favorite. They're all terrible. But if I had to pick one, it would be our Old Testament fantasy draft that we did. It was earlier this year. No, last year.
Yeah.
So if, as you go through our episodes, you realize that we do a lot of fantasy drafts. It's kind of our thing. But listen to the Old Testament one. That one, I remember that one being a lot of fun.
That's a good one. Okay, Tyson, you're up.
All right, I am Tyson. I live in Bountiful. I am an architect, and currently I work on in our temple studio. So I work on design and construction of temples, which is great, and I love it. The other things, what do I do? I love playing pickleball. And so that's kind of my old man sport that I picked up to try and, you know, keep me a little limber. And love movies. And actually all three of us love movies and get together. Not as much as we used to, but we get together and watch a flick every now and again and then spend 2 hours in the parking lot talking about it.
It's much more enjoyable in the summertime when it's not freezing cold.
It's true. It's very true. It's cold right now. And then my favorite episode, so I'm going to pull a Johnny and cheat and pick multiple favorites. Okay. So no surprise, my favorite episode is going to be our episode on the lost manuscript. Really, really good one if you want to check it out. But another one that's also really good and doesn't get talked about as much these days is our episode about Murder Among the Mormons, the Netflix dramatized documentary.
Wasn't that like episode four?
Yeah, that's episode five. That's a deep cut for sure.
Yeah. So, but I thought it was awesome. I really liked it. So if you want to go check out those two, I think you'd be happy.
the Jared Hess, I guess it is a documentary, but they've also got these reenactments that are just so good.
They're so Napoleon Dynamite. It's awesome.
It is definitely Jared Hess for sure. Oh yeah. Good times. Good times. Well, guys, like I said, it's nice. Audience, it's nice to meet you. Like I said, we're excited to be here. Like I said, we'd love if you check out the show. But let's get down to it. Let's talk about what went on this week in the church and the news. I guess we want to start with.
Favorite show.
We love deep cinematic experiences,
right.
And real multimedia excitement, like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake. It was reported this week from the Salt Lake Tribune that Heather Gay who was a cast of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, says that the church is suing her over her autobiography entitled Bad Mormons. And I like that the Trib kind of spelled this out in a little bit better terms. It's like, it's not exactly true. They're not really suing her. It says that's not exactly true. The church is not trying to prevent the book from reaching bookstores as scheduled this week. It is not suing over anything in between the covers. It's suing on what's on the cover, the title. And it doesn't
specifically
really
the trademark, the trademark, yeah, of the title,
the trademark, yeah, of the title, Bad Mormons. So yeah, guys, what do you think about Real Housewives? First of all, have you guys seen the show?
Absolutely not. Never, ever, ever would it ever grace my television set.
I mean, I don't think that we're the target demographic, you know, three men,
right,
with IQs over 50.
You know, though, there's something about just trash TV that's kind of like a train wreck. You can't stop watching.
No, you can absolutely stop watching it. You can 100% stop watching it. I'm okay with like mindless television. That's fine. Sometimes you just need to sit back and relax, but it doesn't have to be trash. There's plenty of great things out there that require talent that you don't have to think about, that you can just relax to. This Real Housewives of Salt Lake, Real Housewives of anything with the word real in it is trash.
Not real.
And you should be ashamed of yourself for watching it.
Oh, jeez.
To all those listening, we love you and we appreciate you as people, and we appreciate your freedom to watch whatever you want.
Some people like the taste of trash. I don't currently like the taste of trash. I don't like how garbage feels in my... So if you like that, fine, you know?
Jeez, for the guy who doesn't talk ever in the episodes, you just came out of the gates firing, didn't you?
Well, you know, I'm a straight shooter. I tell like...
Yes.
I think a better version of like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City would just be like, we should just like video our wives together. That would be really entertaining because I think they've got a great dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I think that this is an interesting story, not because I'm invested in the characters at all. Cause like I said, this is the first time I've ever heard of Sister Gray. but what I do think is interesting is, the church's, like the church's stance in the lawsuit. Because at first you think, I don't really know if I like, you know, the church should really have a say on, you know, what people do. But again, the word Mormon like is seriously trademarked within the church. And the church takes its identity and takes its branding super, super seriously. I used to work for the church and I was there when they started rebranding It first started with actual fonts and typesets. Like they started coming up with their own fonts so that they could trademark the fonts. I wasn't there for the rebranding of the church logo, but one thing that they did want is they did want the church logo to be harder to duplicate. And they certainly did that with the new logo. So I think that at least the trademark aspect of the lawsuit is really interesting. What do you guys think?
I do, because I guess the interesting thing about it is that she wants to sell merch, right? Mm-hmm. And so that has an impact on something that is like a core identity of the church. And I think that there is, you know, trademarks get litigated all the time. So I don't think we should necessarily hold this to a different standard. I think this is a pretty plain Jane lawsuit. Also interesting, the lawsuit's helping her publicity, right?
Oh, for sure.
And so, I mean, I think if they didn't have a lawsuit, they would be disappointed, right?
Yeah, that was actually the first thing I thought. It's like, why? The first thing I thought of was I wish the church hadn't sued hadn't opposed the pat or the trademark, whatever the wording is, because it is giving her publicity. But I think if they didn't, it would set a bad precedent for if future people wanted to use a trademark. Because there's also, like, they've apparently done this twice before. With like, there was something called Mormon Royalty and then something else that they were successful in opposing.
Interesting.
A trademark for, I can't find it now. But there were two times the church successfully did oppose somebody using something Mormon in their own merchandise.
Yeah,
Was it Book of Mormon musical? Is that one of them?
No, they were fine with that. Like,
oh, interesting.
And what they did that I really liked is that in the playbills, and they advertised to order a Book of Mormon. Right. They said the book is always better.
Yeah,
I thought they did that perfectly.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, here it is. They successfully challenged past attempts by others to trademark terms Real Mormon and Mormon Royalty. So like we said earlier, this has nothing. I read something in Vulture about this, which said, like, there was a quote from Heather Gay. Is it Heather Gay or Gray? Gay?
Gray, I think. Gay. Oh, no, it's gay. It's gay. It's gay. That's right.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, how much we know about this woman,
she's quoted saying that the church wants to keep this book from the shelves. And it's like, this, the filing has nothing to do with the book. The book can do whatever they want. It's the merchandise that she wants to sell with Bad Mormon on it. That's the big issue. And to me, like Tyson said, this is pretty cut and dry. It's like, this isn't... To me, this isn't like a controversial thing. This is like, this makes total sense.
Yeah. Right. Do you think so? I mean, we've obviously already discussed the Book of Mormon musical. But what if John Dolin and the Mormon Stories podcast started selling Mormon Stories merch? Do you think the church would go after that case as well?
I mean, what the criteria is, it's hard to say, right? Yeah. Is it an issue of scale? I mean, the words Bad Mormon have a very specific impact on the church's branding effort,
right?
And so that's a hard thing, because you've got all these bad things, like, you know, like Bad Santa and stuff like that, that has this connotation to it that's very that the church probably doesn't want to be associated with. Mormon Stories, I mean, it has a message that is has conflicts with the church's teachings and messaging and those types of things. is it big enough to justify a lawsuit? It's hard to say.
Yeah, that's a good question, because you know, when you file a lawsuit, you really do have to prove or quantify harm somehow. So maybe you're right. Maybe this one is in terms of reach, because Real Housewives series is really big. But I was going to say, in terms of, like, I'm kind of surprised that if this is the precedent that they haven't gone after John DeLynn, because in terms of confusion, like brand confusion, I would think that the Mormon Stories podcast would be very confusing as to whether that, you know, is not owned by or associated with the church.
Well, and that's the most interesting part about it, right? Because when we use the term Mormon, it has a lot of different meanings depending on the context, right? Mm-hmm. There's the prophet Mormon. There's the kind of derogatory euphemism Mormon that was used by the church's enemies to refer to us in the early days of the church.
Right.
Now it's kind of like, okay, are you, you know, similarly to like in the media when you hear the term Jewish, like Jewish is a religion, Jewish is a heritage, Jewish is a culture. I see the term Mormon becoming more of that. Like, are you culturally Mormon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or
for sure.
Are you a member of a faith? So it kind of, regardless of what the people in the faith intend it to mean or what it's come to mean, the culture kind of takes that term and turns it into whatever it wants.
Yeah.
So I think that's another aspect that we're dealing with that.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. And I also think it's kind of interesting because President Nelson's work has been trying to disassociate the church with the word, with the term Mormon.
Yeah. Which is a euphemism.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily call it disassociate, but he wants to make clear this is the Church of Jesus Christ. This isn't Mormon.
That's a better way of
right?
putting it.
Like, sure. Yeah. So yeah, yeah. That's, right. I mean, I think they've held on to the patents for good, or the trademark, not the patent. Like, if they've held on to all the trademarks for good reason. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we're, I don't think the church is totally dissociating with it. We just want to make sure that the Savior's name is front and center, because this is his church. You're Mormon, right. The prophet for Mormon sure. would probably be more like, he probably really mortified if knowing that people are naming the church after him. It's like, did you guys read the book? Right.
That's a good point. Interestingly enough, I thought that she talked about Heather Gay, by the way, talked about how she'd served a mission in France. But yeah, it seemed like I think it definitely an interesting character and how she would get to, I think it would be interesting to see how she got to the show and stuff like that. So
cool. Interesting how she got to the what?
How, like what her journey would have been from like returned missionary to a Real Housewife of Salt Lake.
Okay. Which that's such a, I'm sorry. Like, I know I went on a rant before, like how much I hate that, like, entertainment like this, but I really just hate entertainment like this. Real Housewives of Salt Lake. What the heck, man? Like, this, it's just like, I honestly just, yeah, this is like the lowest form of entertainment. And I wish these shows had gone away by now. You know,
I think it's
interesting. Yeah. I mean, like being a kid of the 90s, I did think that this was just going to go the way of the buffalo. Yeah, like, oh yeah, too. This is like, this is going to be of a time, right?
The real world totally, on MTV, man.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Another, like, I'm surprised things like this, survived like the Me Too movement. Right. It's like, this is so degrading to actual, like, this is so degrading to women, in my opinion, calling these women Real Housewives of Salt Lake. Like, this is something that people should be living up to rather than, you know, and like, yeah, shows like The Bachelor and stuff. I'm really surprised all these shows have survived when we're supposed to be you know, trying to progress as a culture. And yeah. then you look at these shows and they're just like, oh, okay, so let's, so women are actual, like, literal prizes to be won on shows. So yeah, it's like, maybe we should do a little bit better. Maybe Heather Gay shouldn't actually command this much press, you know?
I mean, the fact that we're covering it
yeah.
first.
Yeah. For sure. It's, yeah. It's stupid.
All right. Well, okay. We'll move on. Okay.
Real Housewives Salt Lake is stupid.
The show.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. I'm sure there are plenty of non-stupid housewives in Salt Lake. The show is stupid.
Yes. Yes, I agree. All right. All right. So the next thing, the next kind of article that we had kind of on our docket was that there's a new UK poll that suggests that people have a less favorable opinion of the church. The last, there was a, so it's yougovamerica.com. Recently explored Americans' attitudes about 35 religious groups, organizations, or belief systems. They asked 1,000 people, a random sample of 17 of those 30, about 17 of those 35 organizations, including Christianity, Protestantism, Amish, Judaism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Presbyterianism, and a lot of them. And other ones are, I guess we can keep going as a little bit as agnostics, Sikhs, atheism, Wicca, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They also include the fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which I thought was interesting. Satanism. I think it's
good. Yeah.
Yeah. They're because, delineating like, those two for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've been in so many, contexts where those two things get conflated. Right. And it's really difficult because, I mean, primarily because of the polygamy issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because they still believe and practice it and we don't practice it anymore. And so yeah. I really like that part of the article that they made that distinction.
Yeah, I like that too, because still the amount of, again, Mormons and polygamies jokes that are still around drives me crazy.
Yeah. It's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, it's like there's tons of stuff to make fun of us about. Like polygamy ended in 1890. Like it is more than 100 years, you know, outdated. Like get yourself some new material. At any rate, yeah, they said that so what they did is they said, do you have a very favorable, somewhat favorable, neither favorable nor unfavorable, not sure, somewhat unfavorable or very unfavorable view of these religious organizations. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came in interestingly. So of those responses, they got a 6 on very favorable, 11 on somewhat favorable, 36 people were neutral, so neither favorable nor unfavorable. 9 didn't know, but 20 had a somewhat unfavorable, and 19 had a very unfavorable. So in terms of favorable versus unfavorable, I mean, it's more than 2-1, which is interesting. What are you guys thinking about that?
I was thinking of the notes I used to pass to girls, like, in elementary school. All I would say is, you know, do you like me? Yes or no? Like, if I should have put, do you think I'm favorable? Do you think I'm unfavorable? Do you think I'm somewhat unfavorable? Do you think I'm somewhat favorable? Do you think my image is, you know, I should have done that. That would have helped my self-esteem a lot more rather than just hearing, yeah. No, I don't like you.
It's not like a Rotten Tomatoes thing where it's binary.
Right. Yeah.
You have a little bit more of a spectrum there.
Yeah.
This is very survey talk. Like I did telephone surveys in college, which was a very fulfilling profession indeed. that's very survey talk. So what do you guys think what do you think is up with this shift in perspective?
Well, so I apologize because we didn't prep on this, but this just came to mind as we started mm-hmm. talking about it. Yeah. But we have talked about this show before. There's a show called Hello Saints. It's a pastor is investigating the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, reading the scriptures, visiting the facilities, going to meetings, those types of things. Well, one of the most recent, as per when we recorded this video to come out, is the title on the image of the video is "Do Evangelicals Hate Mormons?" And it's a little bit of clickbait. It's relevant to what he's talking about, but he does go into a really interesting conversation of the history between evangelical and mainstream Christianity and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and why there is tension there. And since so many people in the States identify as evangelical, I think that probably feeds into some of this response. Mm-hmm. And so I think that anyone listening should go watch it, because I think for me, not having a huge background in evangelical Christianity, it was an interesting perspective for me to see why there is some angst there between like mainstream Christianity and our faith.
It's really interesting because as you kind of scroll down, you see a little bit more demographics of where these answers are coming from. And it says that those who say religion is not very important to them, the church has a very negative view. So it's instead of it goes from like negative 50 to positive, you know, however many scores they got. And the church gets a really bad rap as negative 41
for people that don't care about or religion is not important to them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But again, a lot of that has to do with media, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right. And it's like that to me, that's a very interesting stat, because it's like, they're very, because that's kind of signals of passionate dislike for something that's not important to them.
Yeah.
Like to me, that would, it should fall somewhere in the middle, because if it's not important to them, then what do they care?
Yeah. Well, but which is right. Interesting, because there are those who say religion is not very important to them. They ranked, so overall Christianity was a negative 10, but Buddhism is a positive 26. Hinduism is a positive 6. Agnostic is a plus 19. Atheism is a plus 19. Sikhs are a negative 2.
Can I say there's one demographic here that is rubbing me the wrong way, because I grew up in Southern California, and I was surrounded by Jehovah's Witnesses all the time. Mm-hmm. And Jehovah's Witnesses are great. Like they've been nothing but great in my experience, and to see them like at a negative 31.
Yeah.
That was crazy. So I'll tell you the story. So when I went to graduate school at the University of Michigan, and after I graduated, I was, you know, getting our trailer ready to haul back to Utah. So Springer and I were getting ready to leave and head back here. And as I was like, putting a hitch on the car to try and get us going, this car full of Jehovah's Witnesses drove up to me. Right. And I could tell they were nervous, but so they yelled over to me. So I went over to talk to them, and they fumbled with their words a little bit, but essentially what they were trying to tell me is, or what eventually came out is, would you like greater faith? And I was kind of having a rough day at that point. Like I'm doing all this stuff, and I've got all this stress on my mind, and that question, like, just like made my day actually. And I just looked at him, smiled, and said, yes. I took their pamphlet. The girl that was in the car, like, got a really big smile on her face, because apparently she hadn't gotten a good reception to that all day. And, I thought they were great. So I think the Jehovah's Witnesses got a bum rap on this one, because I think they're good folks.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah. It's just interesting going back to, people who say that religion is very important to them, we still don't have a great viewpoint from them. We have a negative 11. And in context, the FLDS Church has a negative 14. So what do you guys think that the reasoning is for this? Do you think that it has a lot to do with exposure in the media? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, so media, I think, has a big big impact on it for sure. It was what's interesting about what you said about Buddhism getting very plus whatever
positive scores. Yeah,
yeah, and I think Buddhism can get a really positive score because there's a lot about lifestyle that's kind of public. You know, there's a lot about a very peaceful lifestyle. We probably don't do enough, or at least people don't listen to enough how much lifestyle goes along with our church, right? It's not just a belief system. It is very much a lifestyle, right? It affects every part of our lives, as it should, right? And so that's, I hadn't thought about it before, but that's probably something that we could do better portraying, or, you know, people could do a better job listening to, or, you know, a combination of the two. Normally I really don't care about these polls. Like I have a hard time deciding on why is it? Because I think there's a lot of factors that go into why this is. The Salt Lake Trib, they were talking about this in their Mormon Land part article, and there's a common Sam Brunson, he's a blogger for By Common Consent is his name of his of his blog, and he was surprised to see that the church was +4 among 18 to 29 year olds and -36 among 65 and older, which normal Christianity, that's switched. The younger is less favorable and the older is more. And there's one thing that he says is that he means members of the church. He says that we're not doing a good job explaining to our neighbors the good things we're doing. Maybe that's because we're not doing good things, or maybe it's because we're not publicizing the good things we do. Which I think is, like, obviously the church is doing good things, and there's a lot of there, but they're not gonna, you know, there's not a lot of media about it, but there's also not a lot of hey, look what we do, you know? And there's one line in the Trib that I do think is worthwhile, worthy of thinking about. It said, image may not be everything, but it's something. It's especially important in a missionary minded church. So I think that's one thing where these polls are kind of important, is to how, kind of setting expectations for missionary work. It's like, how are people seeing us before we even go out? The one poll that I do want to see that I don't think is, this is just U.S. This is just polled in the U.S.
Right.
I want to see a worldwide view of the church. The church is bigger outside the U.S. than it is inside. Yeah. And so to me, that is the more important poll that I would like to see.
A question that I kind of have is, should the church care? You know, we're very okay with being a peculiar people. And I think you're right. I think a lot of the negative, press, I think, recently can come through, again, the media. I know Hulu's done a couple of specials on the church that have not really portrayed the church in a great light. But I think you're right. I think that it's interesting that the church does a ton of really, really good things, but it doesn't ever make the news. You know, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but the church's response to the earthquakes in Syria and Turkey, that's not making any headlines, but they're doing exactly what they do with all natural disasters, which is donate a lot of money and help a lot of people.
And organize. They're organized. They're in there. They're getting, they're getting their hands dirty and helping, you know.
But the thing is, you think about it, that's really consistent with our worldview, right? Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be doing things for acclamation.
Right.
We're supposed to be doing things, you know, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, you know, mm-hmm. and God who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Yeah. You know, those types of things. So I think it's really consistent with our theology that it is that way. Having said that, though, I just think the church is very patient. You know, there's obviously messaging that's going on, but it's a long game. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to counteract the myriad things that are said about us in various circles. So I just think the church is very patient. They try not to overreact to things, and they just try and, you know, it's like, you know, just that steady drip, 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 drip of positive messaging, which I think is a good thing. And it's actually kind of, you know, the opposite of the, you know, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, you know, that's just based on
stupidity.
Know,
dumbness.
Yeah.
Voyeurism.
we got Bridges back on there. I think we should. I think that's great. You said drip, 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 which I mean has to move to our next one. Sorry, Burgess, we're moving on. Again, another article in the Salt Lake Tribune this week talks about something that's going on that I think is pretty top of mind of many Utahns now, which is the status of the Great Salt Lake. Some ecologists have said that if in the next few years, the Great Salt Lake can completely disappear and that it will be now a toxic wasteland. We'll all be breathing in arsenic, which is probably not great for our lungs. But the Salt Lake Tribune wrote an article that says how the LDS Church could prevent its headquarters from becoming a toxic wasteland.
And if anybody else loved the drip, drip, drip segue into this, like that was like you should listen to the rest of the Bless the Refreshment episodes because Johnny has right. a lot of those great segues right into something like this. So
hey, well that
was my segue.
That right, yeah,
my,
says, right.
Yeah, my segue.
Right.
But that's how you know
that was good.
That's how you know when we're on is right. because like the segue is just flow.
Right. Speaking of flow,
segue is roll. Oh yeah, flow. That would have been better. Because I was thinking about segue is like the things you ride on, which would have taken us nowhere.
Right.
So yeah, Tyson's segues are much better than
you cannot ride a segue to the Great Salt Lake. Speaking of the Great Salt Lake,
you could maybe in a few years when it's all dry. Well, excellent.
Hashtag tangent.
Yeah, this is an interesting episode because it talks about, you know, before I opened the episode or opened the article, I thought, OK, how can the church, you know, make a difference in this? And it was I was like, oh, maybe they could just donate a lot of money into supporting whatever kind of efforts that are going on to preserve the Great Salt Lake. But it actually talks a lot about water rights. The church has a lot of right to water.
Right. So here's the interesting thing about this, because the answer to your question, Donnie, what can the church do about the declining water in the Great Salt Lake? One answer, and I think it's actually a true answer, is really kind of nothing, right? They can't in and of themselves do anything about it. They do talk about the water rights, but mm-hmm. to the Tribune's credit, it's minuscule. Like the water rights that the church has is not going to make a difference in the, you know, the amount of water in the Great Salt Lake to a significant degree. But
it's a drop
it's really a drop in the bucket. Yep. But it's kind of a political thing, just that the fact that the church has the water rights and that they're so old, right? Mm-hmm. But they can do something in messaging because they have so much sway amongst a large population in Utah that they can have a great impact that way in terms of, you know, leading a conversation and trying to, you know, talk about the importance. So the church came out with a news article in the last year or so that talked about the importance of water conservation and those types of things. And that's really important. And another anecdotal thing, I remember when California, which I grew up in, has droughts, all the time. And mm-hmm. what the church will do, and they don't just do this in California, it's just one example, but like the LA Temple, for example, has a huge turf lawn right in front. Mm-hmm. And when water is really low, they'll let that, kind of die out or go brown or whatever. Yeah. And so, but it's not that them not watering that's going to really affect the drought. It's just showing that they're in solidarity with the, with the condition, and they're trying to be a good example.
Yeah.
And so I think that is something. It does talk about an interesting part about the word of wisdom, and how our livestock really feeds into this more than the water rights do. And so because we've got, such a big kind of meat eating culture, that's a big contributor to water usage in our state.
Yeah, I don't know how much the church has like the leaders have spoken publicly, like church wide, but I know our stake, maybe our area, I don't know, but at least our stake has spoken a lot about what we can do in our stake to help out with the water, like make sure that we're following the restrictions, like plant more, native grasses, things like that. Like try to have, I feel like our stake has done a lot. So hopefully that's, a statewide, I'm not sure, but, I was just thinking that I feel like the church had done a lot, but I'm reading through the article and I guess there hasn't been a whole lot publicly from church leaders specifically about the Great Salt Lake. But I feel like our stake has done a lot of good.
Yeah. I just don't know if anyone has an answer yet as to what to do about the Great Salt Lake. And I know what's probably making it worse. It's growth. A lot of people, like Utah's population is growing, and as population grows, we use more water. I don't really know what can be done.
Well, this is such an interesting thing to me. So, okay. So I'm going to put on my church history hat for a second here. If you look at the history of the settlement of the Great Basin, and one book that everyone can read, it's not a book by one of our members, but it's one of the most interesting books about the settlement of the West. It's called Cadillac Desert. And one of the things that the author mentions over and over again is that the reason that the early saints settled this area, and this is supported by statements by Brigham Young and others, is because it was such a forsaken piece of land that no one would ever want it. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was like the criteria that saints used to settle places, like, oh, no one's ever going to come kick us out of these places because it's not exactly a desirable piece of land. Right. But in our days, we have different criteria for what constitutes a good place to live. Because traditionally, and a friend of mine had classes on this, desirable places to live were always based on, plenty of, natural resources. Water is the biggest one, right? But also, lots of, mineral resources, different types of fuel, things that allow us to live and do those kinds of things. We have such globalization now that a lot of that gets hidden from us. We don't know what the resources is because we're trading from all over the place. We all have what we need. And so our criteria for going to a certain place isn't necessarily based on those things like they would have been in the past. But now it's kind of coming back because, like, okay, where are we going to get all this water to support all these people?
So if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, is that this is just propaganda to get people to stop moving to Utah because it's a great place to live?
I would like people to stop moving to Utah. Absolutely. I say that as a non-Utahn.
Yeah. Someone who didn't grow up here. Yeah. Right. I've always thought that the idea of the Saints coming over the valley, coming into the valley and seeing the Great Salt Lake, be like, whoa, look at all that water. And then they go to it and it's five times saltier than the ocean. Right. That's a major bummer. but I think that the Great Salt Lake is interesting, especially that it's taking kind of center stage in our state, really, for sure.
I want to say the stat is that like each, I'm trying to remember if it's each household, I think on average uses like 200 gallons of water a day. We got to cut that out. Like to live in a desert and use that much water, it's way too much. We don't live in the Midwest where like Kentucky bluegrass just grows spontaneously. Like we've got to have a culture shift around that. We've got to use, you know, like native plants and kind of embrace the landscape that we live in.
Yeah. John Oliver did a segment about water rights and water usage. And they said that St. George is one of the worst areas in the country because of its golf courses. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And they have got a lot of golf courses and they use a ton of water. It's a place where water evaporates immediately.
That's another thing that sucks is golf.
Well, there goes our Real Housewives of Salt Lake viewers, and now our golfer demographic. Thanks, Burgess.
That's all right. I'm just crossing the mark.
You're never going to ask us to come back on the show ever again.
and just for those of us, for those people that don't know us, like this is kind of Burgess's MO. Like, there's a demographic of people we lose every show.
Yeah,
it's like almost it's a different one too. Sometimes it's geographic. You know, sometimes it's based on interests. You know, you just never know. It's one of the hallmarks of the show.
Well, if everybody just lived up to my standards, then we'd be fine. I wouldn't have to, you know, we'd all get along. But, you know, people don't.
It's constantly disappointing, Burgess.
They are.
Everyone.
It's a shame.
Well, good times. All right. Well, let's move on to a big piece of world news. And that is the church is, I guess, the piece of world news is the earthquakes in Syria and in Turkey. Man, that is rough. Rough go for sure. I think that it's interesting that we live in a day that we can see what is happening immediately across the world in a very real time. I, like 20 years ago, you'd have to see it on the news. But again, now you can see videos of it happening on Twitter almost immediately.
Yeah. Yes, and some of these videos are just really, really scary, you know, with the buildings coming down and stuff. It's just,
oh yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, those of us in Utah that got, you know, we got rattled by that 5 point, whatever, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I remember like, you know, being a little bit shaken by that, and to go through like two, almost 8 pointers back to back, it just looks terrible.
Oh, dude. And I remember feeling, you know, some earthquakes that didn't, you know, like that earthquake really happened for less than 10 seconds. And mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, that was kind of long. But like when I lived in Japan, man, those like the earthquakes would go on for a long time. And so ones like those have got to go on for so long and so scary. The death toll now is reported by CNN is up to almost 24,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could very easily get up to 30, you know, before it's all said and done.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Easily. Right. And they said that injury reports are up to 80,000. Man, that's just, it's rough. But,
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I actually grew up in earthquakes because, you know, I didn't have like a really major one, but we'd always get like a little rumble every now and again. When I was growing up in California, at the start of the pandemic, do you guys remember the earthquake we had?
Yeah,
this would have been early 2020.
Yeah.
I was in like a big box grocery store when that happened. And it was kind of funny. I'm like, I started thinking like, oh, we're having an earthquake. And so I started to think like, oh, where should I go? And the building was kind of a large, you know, steel framed building. So it's built, so it's supposed to shift a little bit. And you could see kind of the rafters shake back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around, the people inside probably hadn't been in an earthquake, at least in quite some time. And everyone was like hugging each other. You know, they were really happy to be alive. But it just goes to show, sometimes we don't know how bad it can get.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, these earthquakes, I mean, there was like tens of thousands of people died. And I'm an architect, and just to give you guys a little perspective into what I go through, like we have authorities in each jurisdiction that tell us, you know, that kind of scrutinize our drawings to make sure that we've accommodated every code. And there's so many codes, like you could never count them all. It's ridiculous. But this kind of thing puts that in context. Like, this is what we're designing for. So if we can save, it's hard, because if the earthquake's bad enough, there's almost, you know, there's only so much you can do. But if you can minimize the damage, to me, it kind of like, okay, I'm not going to give the building official as hard a time time, because I know that their job is to make sure when things like this happen that, we can save some of those people.
Maybe you could speak to this a little bit, Tyson, being an architect. Say earthquakes of that magnitude hit, you know, like Salt Lake, or hit Chicago, like a big inland. I guess Chicago is not really inland because it's got the Lake Michigan, like right close to it. But say it hits a major city like that, like would buildings crumble here like they did in Turkey and in Syria? Or is it, are our buildings a little more sound? I don't know.
So I think it's very regional. So mm-hmm. I think in every area you're going to have a mixed bag. So sure. some buildings, depending on when they were built and if they're historical, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the main things that's happening with the Salt Lake Temple right now, and other historical temples, is they're upgrading them seismically to withstand these types of things. And it's really hard with these traditional masonry temples, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing with other buildings. When we had that, one of the things, I'm not going to, for fear that it would reflect badly on the entity. We had a client when that earthquake happened that hired us to go and do an evaluation of any damage to their properties. And so we had to go see if there was any cracking and things like that. Is it, you know, would the insurance be covering it? You know, what remediation would have to be done? Now, most of it was pretty minor, but even some of the buildings that were built in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, building codes have evolved since then. And so you just, each one is kind of its own beast. And so you've got to be, you know, you just have to be vigilant as an owner. You know, homes are even more, they're not as regulated as commercial buildings are. And so you just have to, you know, be mindful of when was your building built, under what codes, and what kind of contractor was likely working on it. Those will kind of tell you the things that you need to know. But yeah, other countries are going to have the same thing. So you've got a lot of places. I was in the Philippines on my mission, and the Philippines have places that are just, you know, essentially someone just built something there. It's mm-hmm. it's not like it was overseen at all or anything like that. And lots of different parts of the world will have that in different contexts. So it's hard to generalize because every place is so different, but mm-hmm. it's, yeah, if you were just a guy or a girl that decided to build something someplace and live there, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, you didn't have structural engineering training to teach you how to do that. And that can end up in a bad thing if there's an earthquake.
Yeah. Just real quick. So if, back to Turkey and Syria, the Latter-day Saints are encouraged to use justserve.org to create and find community service opportunities. Church members and others can also donate to the faith's humanitarian aid efforts. So I'm reading this from the church newsroom. The Saints are asked to be patient as service projects emerge. So things are still, you know, in a lot of flux. So there might not be like specific things on justserve.org, but there will be very shortly. So, and obviously as we said earlier, with all natural disasters and tragedies, the church is always going to be one of the first, you know, the first boots on the ground. They're going to be very organized. So there will be lots of projects that, that if anybody wants to, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to help out.
Yeah, I would imagine that newsroom.lds.org or newsroom.churchofjesuschrist.org would be a really good resource. Keep checking that regularly, and you know, as much as thoughts and prayers is kind of a mocked, you know, sentiment in our culture now. I mean, there's not a whole lot else we can do besides donate money, donate, and pray as much as we can. So, man, so rough. I don't know how to get a segue out of this one without it being super downer. It is a super downer. So
I thought of one, but I don't know. It's like, speaking of prayers, Hail Marys.
Hail Marys. All right. That's fine with me.
I wonder if the game, there'll be any Hail Marys in the Super Bowl. Hey, speaking of Super Bowl, one of the coaches is a member of the church.
Andy, Super Bowl. What is this number of Super Bowl now? I didn't.
50. Who cares?
Wow.
If the Steelers aren't in it, I don't care.
I stopped counting after Super Bowl XL.
Steelers won that one, by the way.
Did they?
Oh, Steelers beat the Seahawks. Right.
The problem is they do them in Roman numerals, and I'm not very good at Roman numerals.
I think it's 458.
It's got to be a 7. It's a 7. 57. If L is 50, VII would be 7.
Okay.
So it's going to be 57. All right.
Yeah.
That Kansas City Chiefs.
So that's crazy. That XL Super Bowl was like almost like more than a decade ago. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Time just goes too fast.
Yeah. Steelers have won another Super Bowl after that, too.
We're not talking about the Steelers right now. Take it easy. We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Kansas City Chiefs, head coached by Andy Reid, BYU grad.
Former Eagles coach.
Huh?
And former Eagles coach.
Oh, that's right. He is a former Eagles coach, isn't he? Yeah. Which I think is really awesome. Other notable members of the church, when I say notable, but other members of the church that play for the Kansas City Chiefs would be Matt Bushman. I mean, I don't know if he's actually traveling to the Super Bowl. He's on the practice squad because I think he's also injured. And Britton Covey plays for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, return man.
Yeah. Britton Covey is smaller than I thought he would be. He's only like 5'8". He weighs like 190 pounds, but man, he is little. I say as a man who is 5'8". But yeah, I thought it was interesting. When I say interesting, I think this is more funny that during Super Bowl press conferences, he was asked, Coach Reid was asked how he takes his coffee. And he responded, "You know, I don't drink coffee." He said, "I'm not a coffee drinker. I just get up and go. I have endless energy for a chubby guy."
That's funny.
Which I think is really cool. Yeah. He seems like a really good guy.
Funny story. My cousin Xander, oddly enough, is a, is a look alike of Andy Reid, and he gets dressed up like he actually goes to Chiefs football games sometimes and does the whole get up with the mustache and the headset and like all of the Chiefs gear. We should probably, like, when we post that, we should probably let me get you a picture because it is awesome.
Does he try to get into the games like that one guy did with Clay Thompson?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Xander's pretty bold. And he's the type of guy that can get away with it too. Like I'm going to get taken away in handcuffs. Xander's going to get like the red carpet, like rolled out for him. And he's going to be like, you know, getting along with all the guys, and he's going to get autographs and stuff like that. I'm going to get pounced by security. But speaking of the press conference, I love how substantive these media days are. Like they'll ask you all the important question, like who your favorite rappers are and those types of things. But they actually did stumble onto one on this press conference. They asked Coach Reid, what does his perfect burger taste like? And this is actually a really important question because I'm a burger snob. And I was really impressed. So he says the first thing is the bun, and the bun doesn't get nearly enough, talk for how important it is to a good burger. If no one's ever been to HSL in Salt Lake City, probably the best burger bun that I've ever had. Now, if you get a burger there, be warned, they don't season their beef for some reason. So ask them to put some salt on it, salt and pepper. But the bun is like amazing, but a good bun.
They don't season their burgers?
It's really a bland burger. I don't get it. But
so they've got really good buns, but their burger stinks.
The actual meat, but I think if you just tell them like, look, can you put some salt and pepper on it? It'll be okay. But yeah, for whatever reason,
the meat is still the important thing. Yeah.
Okay. If we could stop talking about buns and meat for just a second, like I'm really right on the edge of maybe getting kicked off this podcast. So I know what? You go back and listen to some of the Blessed Refreshments, you'll realize that Tyson's buns are an important subject, but we might just want to leave it where it's at right now.
I've had to stifle a couple of inappropriate jokes for people who don't really know us that well. So, but yes,
because Burgess is always the one that keeps us in the appropriate category. That's his role.
I got to rein everybody in, you know.
I just want everyone like, so if you do go listen to our Bonnie Young episode 82, just listen to Burgess's last comment on the episode. That's all you need to know.
You need to listen to the whole episode, Tyson. It's really good.
I'm just saying about this thing.
Now I need to listen to
enough about Burgess. Is that what you're saying? All right, guys, we're getting off the rails. What are your score predictions? Who wins the Super Bowl? What are your score predictions?
I honestly think the Chiefs win. If you also listen to the episode, another thing that I hate are Eagles fans. I went to school at Temple University in Philly, living there. I always hated Flyer fans because I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm a Penguins fan. There's always big rivalry. But Philly pro sports fans are the worst. You're obnoxious. You're loyal, but to the degree that you like literally spit and puke and throw batteries at everybody else.
You overturn cars when your team wins.
Yeah. There are some Eagles fans that I like that have never been to Philly. Those are probably my favorite kind of Eagles fans. But yeah, like, so I wish no success upon Philadelphia pro sports teams. I'll cheer for the Temple Owls for college, but pro sports teams, I wish no success upon them. So the Eagles do have a good defense. So it's probably not going to be like the 41-7 thumping that I hope it is. But I think the Chiefs win. I don't know, 24-21.
Nice. Tyson, what do you think?
just because this is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a shootout. Like I just that's the kind of Super Bowl I like. So I think that in a shootout the Chiefs win. But I'm going to say the score is going to be something like, let's say 45-42.
Nice.
Eagles defense is really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Because a couple of years ago when the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, like Patrick Mahomes was just incredible. But everyone around him was terrible. Like the one where he was scrambling around for 10 seconds and then he's falling and he throws this dart of a pass and it hits his receiver in the face mask and he drops it. So are we going to see that come out? I was actually going to say I followed the NFL very little this year, but I think let's do a guess. I was going to say 41-17 in favor of the Chiefs. But again, I just have that piece of film going through my brain about, again, Pat Mahomes just pulling out these incredible plays and just everyone around him just crumbling. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'll stick with that.
All right. And on Burgess's note about a good defense, because I agree with you. The Eagles do have a great defense. But sometimes the cadence of the game just takes over.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? And so it just depends. You may be right. It may be a low score. That's just not what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, good times. Any other things that you want to bring up? What happened with the church and the news over the last week, guys?
I don't like Ohio either.
What does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't, but like, you know, I'm just trying to cross off the demographics.
Okay. Well, yeah, like I said, this was a fun, super fun episode. Very glad to have been here. It is unlikely that Kurt would like allow us to come back, but hopefully we see you guys again soon. And thanks for spending an hour with us.
Thanks again to This Week in Mormons for the crossover. Again, please check them out. It's a great show. What do you think about what happened in the news with the church? Do you share Burgess's love of trash TV? We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail at 801-810-9363 or shoot us an email at blesstherefreshments123@gmail.com.
Please bless us to get home safely.